Anyhow, I want to stroll over heaven with every one of you.
Yes, sir.
Want to stroll over heaven with my Savior.
Yes.
We'll have time when we get there. Because time won't matter anymore. I love when our Yates was teaching the other day, God invented time. Time only bothers us.
Yeah.
It don't affect Him no way, shape, or form, because He's always been and always will be. He's not got anywhere to go or all that. Yeah. He ain't got nowhere to go. He's just waiting for us. He's just waiting for the day and the hour when He says it's time. Come up hither.
Hey,
it might be today. Might be today. Might be before we get out here tonight. Even so, Lord, come quickly. People say, well, there's a lot of people unsaved. There'll be more people unsaved tomorrow than there are today. Because there's more people being born than are being saved. And I'm afraid the numbers don't look good. Anyway, amen. Trista, don't worry about it. You're not the only one coughing this evening. I might have a few coughs myself. I don't know what it is. Too early for allergies or too late for them or something. But anyway, springtime's coming. Amen.
Yes, amen.
It's good to hear all the good reports.
Yeah.
I love good reports. Brother Jared's not here this evening, is he? Is he downstairs?
Downstairs.
But let me just say this. I don't mean to add to his message he preached the other day, but it was a good message. Now, God's good. God's good when they get a bad report, too. I was telling him, y'all know what I messed around with cows a little bit. And back several years ago, me and my brother, when he was still living, we had 50-some cows. And we were having problems. And we lost one out of every three calves that was born died. I mean, we lost as high as 14, 15 calves every spring. Just drag them out of the field and throw them over the hill. This week I've had eight already, okay? And they just jump up and run and all good and say, thank you, Lord, every time. But I got news for you. God was as good when they were dying as He is when they're alive.
Sure. Yeah.
He is. God's as good when the bank account's big or when you're broke. Anyway, I better go on. But Jared, it was a wonderful message that Brother Jared brought to us. Go ahead. When we mourn together as a family. When we hurt as one. I mean, it's a wonderful thing when God's people dwell in unity. It really is. All right. Well, we've been trying to get acquainted with the Holy Spirit the last couple of weeks, and we're going to continue on that this evening. And I just want to start with one verse as just a thought-provoking verse. 1 Corinthians 3:16. 1 Corinthians 3:16. 3:16, and let's see if we can start there and go from there. I never realized how many verses in the Bible talk about the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. Now, you understand, I'm not putting Him above the Lord Jesus. I'm not putting Him above God. They're equal. They're equal. He's God the same. And this, you might say, is His dispensation. God, we'll talk some more about that later, but this is the time when the Holy Spirit is here on earth, and it's working. And listen, the more you find out about him, the more you'll know about Christ, because that's all he talks about. Okay? But 1 Corinthians 3:16, the Bible says, "Know ye not, ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you." He's real close. If you're saved, he's real close. You take him wherever you go. You take him everywhere you go. Okay. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we sure do love you. Thank you. Lord, right now, as we stand behind this sacred desk, once again, I need you. I need your help. I need you to convey my broken speech to the hearts and minds of these your dear people. Lord, we thank you for the ones that have come personally here tonight. We thank you, Lord, that they're here. Lord, we thank you for the ones that are watching a live stream. We thank you for them. Lord, we pray that we could be a help, encouragement. And Lord, we want to get more acquainted with you, with your dear Holy Spirit. We thank you. Thank you. Help me. In Jesus' name we ask it. And amen. Amen. We talked last week. We mentioned about the Holy Spirit is a person. He's a person. And you go to John chapter 16, John chapter 16, verse 7, and begin there. John chapter 16 and verse number 7, begin there. It says, this is Jesus speaking. He said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth." Amen right there. I mean, there's preaching in every line, you know what? Somebody said, "What is truth?" Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life." Anyway, let me get off that. It'd be like a preacher. I had two squirrels running through the... Anyway, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away." Jesus is getting ready to go to heaven. He tells his disciples, "For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." Verse 13. "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine and show it unto you." 19 times in chapter 14, verse 16 and 17, chapter 15, verse 20, verse 26, and in these verses I read to you, 19 times the Holy Spirit of God is referred to by a personal pronoun.
Yes.
He, him.
Right.
He, it's funny we talk about pronouns, huh? There's all, hey, yeah, nah, I'm going to get off on that rabbit trail. But anyway, he's referred to 19 times in these. How many times does God have to tell us he's a person?
Right.
He's a person, not something to be, not something, but he's somebody. He's not a force, but he's the Spirit. He's not an it, it's a him. It's not an influence, he's a person. And I want to read again to you, just as review this couple paragraphs that R.A. Torrey wrote, and I really like this, because we're going to continue on here in just a minute. He says, "True spiritual worship is dependent upon the belief in the Spirit's personality. It is of the highest importance from the standpoint of worship that we decide whether the Holy Spirit is a divine person. worthy to receive our adoration, our faith, our love, and our entire surrender to Himself. Or whether it is simply an influence emanating from God, or a power or an illumination God imparts to us. If the Holy Spirit is a person, and a divine person, and we do not know Him as such, then we are robbing a divine being of the worship and the faith and the love and the surrender to Himself, which are His due. Our conception of the Spirit likewise determines our attitude toward Him. If we think Him merely as an influence, then our attitude will be an active one. How can we get more of His power? And I'm afraid that's what a lot of us have done all down through the years, preachers included, is we want more of His power. We want more of His power. And we do. But if we believe Him to be a person, then our attitude will be a passive one, which will be yielded and still, and our daily desire will be, how can He have more of us? The key to the Holy Spirit's power, and I'm not saying I've arrived, hey, listen, I'm way off the mark, is not getting more Him, it's Him getting more me. The key to more, hey, you'll have as much power as you give up yourself. The more you give up of yourself, the more you give up of yourself, the more of the power of the Holy Ghost of God will have. So we need to be totally yielded to Him. But listen, getting back to the Spirit's personality, the Spirit possesses elements of personality.
Yeah.
And we might spend a couple of weeks on this because I believe we need to know He's a person and He's here with me. Just like if I took a Lois everywhere I go, and we do pretty much go everywhere I go, and I watch my mouth and I watch what I do, and you know, I wipe my feet at the door and I'm all that because I know she's going to tell me if I do something wrong.
Yeah, of course.
You know the wife is the spirit of the home, okay?
Right.
Okay. But anyway, what constitutes personality? Is it a body? Well, it can't be a body because the Holy Spirit of God doesn't have a body. And you'll understand in a minute. If you just see a person, you say somebody walked in the door I've never seen before, I see a person. What do I know about that person? If you just see a person, you cannot really know what they're like.
That's right.
There's a girl that works, that is the raft guide where I work. And listen, she's a cute little girl to look at, but she couldn't walk through a metal detector anywhere.
Right.
I mean, she's got piercings everywhere. I mean, she's got them in her lips, she's got them in her nose, she's got them in her ears. She's got them everywhere. Just to look at her, we would have a lot of ideas about what she's like.
Right.
Let me tell you something. She's the nicest, hard working. I mean, she needs saved, but she's just a pleasant person to be around.
Right.
But just to look at her, we would get it. Oh, this is what she's like.
Right.
Well, it can't just be a body.
Right.
Because when I saw her the first time, I thought, what's this? What's coming here? You know,
sure.
Do we do that?
Yeah.
Don't look at me like that. You do it too.
Yeah.
Like Brother Rick come in here one day, looked like he fell in the tackle box. Melvin didn't even want to let him in the church. That's been a long time ago. Melvin didn't recognize him. Anyway, he looked aside. That's all I can tell you. If you never, I wish we'd have took pictures. Where was the least at when we needed her? But anyway. What I'm trying to tell you is a body doesn't make personality.
Right.
The Holy Spirit doesn't have a body anyway. If you really... Hey, listen. Until they speak to you, I think He speaks to us.
Yeah.
You remember before you got saved when that preacher preached and somebody was talking to you?
Yeah.
If you think me or this preacher or this preacher, any preacher in the world has power to do that to you, you're fooled.
Yeah.
It's that Holy Spirit of God that was talking to you. Until they speak to you and you get to know them, you can't know the personality. Okay? Now, the more you talk to somebody, the more you're around somebody, the more you hear how they live and all these kind of things, you learn what kind of person they are. You learn if you can pick on them or if you can't pick on them, you know, and all this kind of stuff. And so, listen, we cannot know the Holy Spirit. By the way, if you're not saved, you can't know Him because you've never met Him.
Right.
If you're not saved, He's looking for you, though. He's hunting you down.
Sure. Yeah.
Anyway, but the Spirit, what makes personality? Well, the first thing, there's three things. There's heart, and there's mind, and there's will. You get to know somebody, you know what's on their heart. You know the things they're interested in, you know the thing, all this kind of thing. And so we need to know the heart of the Holy Spirit of God. That, by the way, the heart's the seat of affection. With it we love or we hate persons or things. We find in Romans 15 and 30, the Bible talks about the love of the Spirit. He is the Spirit of love. For without a heart, the Holy Spirit has heart, and He loves. Because without a heart, comfort is not possible.
Right.
And one of His names is the Comforter.
Right. Amen. Amen.
He's the Comforter. Okay? So, first thing, we see that the Holy Spirit has heart because He loves us, and He comforts us. In Acts chapter 9 and verse 31, I believe we'll find something about that. Acts chapter 9 and verse number 31. The Bible says, then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified in walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, were multiplied. By the way, anytime you're comforted in the Word of God, it's the Holy Ghost that's taking the Word of God and comforting your heart. Anytime, by the way, you know, we've used the verse many, many times at a graveside in Thessalonians where he says, comfort one another with these words. And all we do is read them as a preacher or somebody at a funeral. But the Holy Ghost of God takes the Word of God and comforts with it. Okay? So we see that He has heart. Not only we know that He has heart because He loves, is because He can be grieved.
Yeah. Yes, right.
That's right. You say, well, how does that prove that He has a heart? Well, grief comes also from the heart.
Yes, it does.
Where there is no love, there can be no grief.
That's right. That's good, Brother Dennis.
Mm-hmm. Where there's no love, there can be no grief.
That's right.
And where there's more love, there can be more grief.
Yes.
Who loves us more than God?
No one.
So who could be more grieved than anybody else?
Right.
Come on.
That's good. That's real good.
Think about it. If He's a person, He has heart. He loves us and He comforts us. But He can also be grieved because He loves more than anybody ever loved you.
Yes.
Amen.
Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30 tells us, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God.
Yeah.
Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Hey, we might ought to pay attention to how we treat Him.
Yeah.
Oh, we ought to. Hey, He's with us.
Yeah.
How many times do we go against Him and grieve Him? How many of us have children that we love dearly and we want the best for them and they disobey us or they do something that's going to hurt them, and you know it's going to hurt them and you warn them but they still do it?
Yeah.
And you're grieved in your heart over those things.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit is in us.
Yeah.
Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Not only is He a person, no, He's a person because He has heart. We know He's a person because of His mind. You learn about a person's personality, what's on their mind. I know most of the time there's not much on my mind, or there's too much on my mind, I don't know which. There's too much that I can't remember. Listen. The mind is the source of intelligence, reason, and knowledge. With our mind, we think, we plan, we comprehend. Now, the Spirit has the mind. It's evident from a study of all of His works.
Yeah, that's good.
Now, you say, what are you talking about? Go back to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2.
Yep.
We find the Holy Spirit in creation.
Yes,
well, just look around at all His works. At the beauty and the precision and the order and the intelligence in all of His works. Because He's God. Listen, every time I think about nature and stuff, I think about the time we went to, I believe it was in Gatlinburg, we went to the aquarium in Gatlinburg. And I think, what a mind God has. I mean, there's fish that are blue and yellow and red. You can't imagine the colors and the shapes
right.
of just the fish.
Right.
And then you look at the birds.
Right.
You look at the flamingos and the herons and the doves, white as snow. And look at those parrots with those big long beaks of different colors and all that kind of thing. I mean, the Holy Spirit of God has a mind.
Right. Yes. Think about that.
How do you know the Holy Spirit of God has a mind? By the incomparable Word of God.
Amen.
2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. And verse number 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. I love this line. Whereunto ye do well that ye take heed. As unto light that shineth in the dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart.
Amen.
Knowing this first, that prophecy of the Scripture no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
The Holy Ghost of God wrote this book through men, through the pens of the writers. He told them what to write. And you say, hey, it's perfect. It's perfect.
Yes, it is.
It's perfect. Don't need fixing, it needs read. 2 Samuel chapter 23 and verse 2. 2 Samuel chapter 23 and verse number 2. The Bible says this. The Spirit, I mean, Let me read verse 1. Now these be the last words of David. David the son of Jesse said, and the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel said, David said, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and His word was in my tongue. That's the writer of a bunch of the Psalms. The Holy Ghost of God wrote this book, and it's perfect. You talk about a mind. What kind of a mind could write a book like this with 66 books in one book by 40-some-odd different authors? And it all fits together so perfect. To use the words of our Thursday night teacher, you can trust your Bible.
Amen.
I love that. How many, Brother Rick's keeping score how many times he says that. But I love it. I love it when he takes the critics' own words and proves that the Bible is true.
Amen.
I love it.
Yes, sir.
He has heart, he has mind, and we know he has mind because of this perfect scriptures. We see him first in creation in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 10. I keep picturing this earth tilted at 27 degrees, spinning around, going around the sun. You know, the sun never moves. The sun never moves. But the earth, you say, well, I thought the sun goes south in the winter. No, the earth's tilted. So when it goes around, you got it? Wonder who done that?
Yeah.
How'd he do that? But anyway, it's amazing.
Yeah, it is.
He has a mind. I'm talking this Holy Spirit that's inside of you. He's smarter than you are.
Yeah,
he's smarter than we are.
Yeah,
the Holy Ghost is in us. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10. But God hath verse 9. But it is written, as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. God will teach you. The Holy Spirit of God will teach you if you let Him. We're going to keep going back at you. Whatever you let Him do, the hold up is not on His part. It's on our part. You say, you preachers all the time, take it don't matter what you preach on, it always comes back to me straightening up. Like He's right, I'm wrong. He's smart, I'm dumb. I mean, he's got all the answers and we got all the questions. So why don't we go to the book and let Him answer them? Anyhow, but God hath revealed them to us by His Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him? In other words, a man can teach us math because they wrote the book. But God invented the numbers.
Right.
And the alphabet.
Yeah.
Anyway. Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God.
Amen.
That Holy Spirit has a heart. He has a mind. After all, He is called the Spirit of Wisdom.
That's right.
The Spirit of Wisdom. I'm running out of time. Let me get you one more. He has a will, but let me go here and see what I've got my wrong page. Y'all know I can't remember all this without writing it down. Has a will. He directs according to His will. We won't go to these verses. You can write them down and read them later, but they're all very familiar. In Acts chapter 8, verses 29 through 39, we see the Holy Spirit of God directing Philip to go down there to the Ethiopian eunuch and catch up with that chariot and tell him about Jesus. In Acts chapter 10, verses 19 and 20, we find him telling Peter to go down to Cornelius' house. We find in Acts chapter 16, verse 6 and 7, we find him telling Paul or hindering Paul, said, you can't go over into Macedonia, I believe it is. He hindered him from going. The Holy Spirit said, don't go. The Holy Spirit told Philip to go. He told Peter to go over here. He told Paul, said, don't you go over there. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verses 1 through 11, let's go over just a minute and look at this. It says, now concerning spiritual gifts. And he talks about spiritual gifts. In verse 11 it says, but all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as you will. And the Holy Spirit of God is the one that gives you a gift and gives you a gift and gives you a gift. Everybody has a gift that the Holy Spirit of God has given us. Now, are we talking to Him to get to know Him? Or are we talking to Him to tell Him what we think?
Hello.
Or are we listening to Him to do His will or our own? Listen, we do too much talking, not enough listening.
Yes, that is true.
I think I read somewhere where it says, be still and know that I'm God.
Right.
Be still. That means, I'm on metal now. Turn off the TV. Turn off the computer.
Yes.
Turn off the cell phone.
Yes.
Turn off the tablet. Turn off the smartwatch. I mean, I don't leave anything out. Hey, you know what I'm talking about? We are too cluttered with everything.
Amen.
Yes, that's true. We don't. It's too much noise going on. We can't even hear. We can't even hear ourselves think, much less hear the Holy Ghost of God, who speaks in a still small voice, trying to tell us to go here or go there or don't go there or do this or do that, and we're just not listening.
Amen.
We're just not listening. May we never cross His will, but be completely surrendered to Him. Not my will, but thine be done. The Holy Spirit of God is a person, and He dwells in you. Are you listening to Him? Are you grieving Him? Hey, listen, He loves you. He loves you. He wants what's best for you.
Yes, He does.
But listen, we got to listen to Him. We got to listen to Him. I'm going to stop right there. But listen, come back next week and we'll go on at least for one more week. We'll see what happens. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we surely love You. Thank You. Thank You, Jesus, when You went away, You didn't leave us comfortless. You didn't leave us without a guide. You not only gave us a good book, a perfect book to guide us, but You gave us the teacher to go with us, to teach it to us. How amazing You are. Lord, thank You, praise You, love You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.